This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Back to Hughes, far point, cutting along the blue line. Hughes spins away from Fogle with room middle of the ice. He scores! Edmondson gets it ahead. Here's a two-on-one for the Kings. Now on the power play. Fiala left wing. Moore with him. Fiala with a toe drag. He scores! A nice wrister for the left circle by Kevin Fiala as he held onto it and beat Demko over the glove. Restores the three-goal lead for the Kings. It's 4-1.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Byfield with speed to the Vancouver line. Tried a shot. It was tied up by Myers. It rolled wide of the goal. Puck deflects to the far post. Fogle scores at the far side. Demko was looking over the wrong shoulder. Didn't realize where the puck was. And Fogle walked out front on the backhand and beat him past the blocker to make it 5-1 Kings.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks, another lackluster performance on home ice, a 5-1 drubbing at the hands of the LA Kings. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And I'm sure you want to vent, and you can do that on the text inbox. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Just added to another long list of disappointing performances by the Vancouver Canucks, yet again in front of their paying customers, now 7-9-6 on home ice. In five of those games, they've lost by three or more goals, and a few of them have been absolute blowouts, and maybe not the same as a 6-0 loss tonight, but not that far off, losing 5-1. And the Canucks are out of this game within the first 10 minutes of the first period. Made it somewhat interesting with one goal from Quinn Hughes in the second, and then moments later, JT Miller gives it away, and next thing you know, you're back to being down by three goals, and that pretty much was a nail in the coffin for the Vancouver Canucks tonight. And I mean, what else can we say? We talk about unacceptable performances. We talk about this team not being up to snuff. We talk about their star players outside of Quinn Hughes not being their star players. I mean, pick a topic on that list and have at it.
Yeah, it was a repeat of the Winnipeg game. It was almost the same script in terms of big mistakes leading to goal after goal after goal and shooting yourself in the foot. And that's exactly what happened, where they're giving up freebies on all three of those goals to start off the game. And when you're giving up freebies, when your best players are making mistakes like that, you don't have a chance in the game right off the bat. And that's why I think, you know, looking at that 1-0 goal, of course, that's that play by Miller, and Hronik's kind of in no man's land, essentially goes back the other way. It's a terrible way to start within the first minute. And then it's compounded by, you know, that goal by Turcotte, where basically it's an ole at the right left point, where kind of waving at the player, Fiala cuts to the middle of the ice. And what ensues there is a mad scramble in your own zone and you're chasing. So moving your feet was something we heard the coach say, the players say, and there wasn't much of it to start off that game. And when you fall behind like that against this team, one the best defensive team in hockey, it's tough to come back, and that's why they couldn't.
It's really tough. Like, you go back and watch that first shift. Miller actually does some good things before the whole play ends up playing out the way that it does. He throws a good hit behind the net. Wins that puck down low, comes around the LA Kings net, tries to get the puck up top to Hronik, but he doesn't get enough on his pass, puts Hronik in no man's land, and doesn't read well enough to say to himself, like, okay, I've got to get back in the play now and at least try to negate this 2-on-1. Do something to help out Quinn Hughes, who's alone back there, and maybe be able to catch up somewhat to Alex Turcotte, get a stick on him, something, so that you can break up the play in some way, shape, or form. That doesn't happen. And look, we've talked so much about Miller. It's hard not to look at him tonight and really focus on him as the biggest issue right now with the Vancouver Canucks. And it's unfortunate, but he factors in on three big goals tonight. And it's really hard to look away from JT Miller in this moment.
Well, the 4-1 goal, I think, hurts you as well, because it looks like you have some optimism in the game. You're going 4-on-4. You get a goal there. Still a little bit of 4-on-4 left. And in that second, in that moment, not having the awareness of,
can't make that play.
Penalty is about to be, you know, is about to go out the window. Kevin Fiala is going to come out of the penalty box. You have to have that awareness to say, if I'm going to make that play forward, somebody's got to stay back. And
Oh, he can put the puck in the corner as he does there.
But you can't chase after.
No,
it.
You can't chase
after. You got to be back. You got to understand there's a guy that lives off the transition game coming out of the penalty box. If it was another player, it's still risky. I don't care if it's Trevor Lewis.
Yeah, you're 4-on-5 now.
No, you're 4-on-5. But it's Kevin Fiala who lives off the transition. That's just a poor awareness on that play. And I thought you mentioned it, three mistakes. But that one where it looks like you're building something. It looks like you might be able to get back in the game.
Quinn Hughes has given you a lifeline.
He's, you know, dancing at the blue line and taking on a skater like Warren Fogle and getting separation and scoring that goal. That one kills you big time.
It is tough. And, you know, I think there's – Miller is obviously the biggest culprit on the play. But I think there's something there, too, on top of all of that. There's no communication on the ice.
Yeah.
You don't hear anybody yelling from the bench, penalty's over, PK, PK, PK. Like, these are things you do in beer league.
Yeah, they're
dead. You know what I mean? I don't hear Demko slapping his stick on the ice to try and help his teammates out and let them know that the penalty is expiring. Like, it is emblematic of this team just not being together right now. Well, and it's a continuous problem this season.
And, you know, not to say this is all because of JT Miller, but he's their emotional leader, right?
Yeah, sure.
And he's an emotion. I don't want to get into the headspace of another person because I think, listen, you know, people like to call us armchair GMs, which is fair. I mean, we're media people, right? I mean, we put a lot of work in this as far as hockey goes, but none of us are equipped to sit here and talk about psychological issues
or
play doctor or whatever. But we do know, like, here are the facts. JT took a leave of absence. And that leave of absence had to do with something outside of hockey. Personal things, which we are led to believe being mental in nature. So it's hard for us to, you know, point the finger and say, like, why you're not able to get your emotional level up high enough. But it's nowhere near, right? Like, his emotional level is so low right now, Randy, that should he even be on the ice? You know what I mean? Like, right now, when he's on the ice, he's doing more harm than good. And I don't want to play doctor. I don't want to do any of these things. But right now, he does not look like a player who's anywhere near engaged enough to play a National Hockey League game. And we've seen some games from him where he's struggled, but he's so vacant right now. And I think that's been the big concern. It's like, okay, fine, you can have some up and down games, but like, he's so far off the mark. And we know what JT looks like when he's playing well.
Sure.
Heck, even go back a couple years ago when they had the struggles and, you know, all this stuff with JT and his lazy plays were concerned, he was still a player who had emotion. Like, at least I saw him slam the bench once today. But you're not even seeing him get frustrated. Like, that emotion is just not there in his game. So your emotional leader doesn't have it. The rest of the team is not.
Yeah, they're searching right now, but they look lost. They look lost, right? And I think the word you use there, vacant, is a good one, which is a player right now. And we know how skilled he is. Like, this market knows how good of a player is. Look at his record since he's been, you know, his stats since he's been here in Vancouver. He's up there with some of the best. He's one of the premier power forwards in the game.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't look like that right now. And tonight, he was a negative on the ice. He was making bad decisions and poor puck decisions, and just the effort wasn't there either. So, yeah, I think from a perspective of looking at, you know, this, he's not even seeing that much ice, guys. Another game where he's sub 15. He's 14:34, if I'm not mistaken. So,
and he was 6 minutes after the first period, right next to Elias Pettersson. So it all,
a
lot of it came in the second and third where Rick Tocchet really went away from him.
I want to go back to one thing you said, though, the lack of talking, because that is very, very evident right now.
Oh,
not, like last year, one of the strong suits was they talked on the ice. You could hear them. You could hear them halfway through the year. You could tell this was a vocal group. One of the first things Rick Tocchet mentioned when he took the job in Vancouver was this group does not talk to each other on the ice. They're not communicating. It's kind of what it sounded like tonight, or lack thereof, any noise, because it felt like there was individual plays being made out there. And Lekkerimäki had moments where he tried to assert himself on the game. But, you know, we're talking about a young kid trying to do that. Good for him.
Yep.
But it was a very individual game. There was very little connected in this game from Vancouver.
There was a moment in the first period on the power play, and the penalty's coming to an end. JT has the puck at the top of the offensive zone, and the LA player's coming out of the box. The crowd is trying to tell JT, man on, but there's no communication on the ice from his teammates. And it's just, again, it's a sign that they are not working together as a team right now. It shows on the ice, it shows in their results, and it shows more than anywhere on the power play, which was absolutely abysmal tonight. You know, they're down 1-0.
I think they ended with one shot on the power play.
It was, I mean, it does more harm than good right now, the power play. Well, they're down 1-0 in the first. They get those two power plays, and all they get out of it is a Bronx cheer from the crowd at the end of the second power play when Hronek flips a puck towards the net that counts as the Canucks' first shot on net.
And what did we see on the power play again? No JT Miller in the first power play unit, right? Not a single goal on the first two chances.
Not a single shot.
Two shot attempts. Not even a single shot on goal.
I don't even
right?
remember the shot attempts, but they were credited with two shot attempts.
They were credited with five on five after the first period. I don't know where those came from, but
so Pedersen's on power play one.
Yeah,
Tocchet's essentially begging Pedersen to step up, begging him. Lekkomäki on his line tonight, right? Let's give the kid a chance. Let's see if he plays with him. He's begging him to take over our game, do something on the power play. So JT's not there. Okay, fine, right? Okay, whatever JT's dealing with, it's going to happen. You don't have all your guys rolling.
Sure.
We've been criticizing JT. They need Pedersen to step up. You're not going anywhere this season if both these guys are going to be vacant. And Pedersen obviously wasn't making the same mistakes JT did, right? And it's fair to say he wasn't as detrimental to
their loss. Well, his back check could have been better on the third goal, too.
Yeah.
But what is he doing to help the team? What is he doing to drag the team the way Quinn Hughes did, scoring that goal when you're down 3-0, making it 3-1? You're not seeing it from him. This is a player that you're paying $11.6 million to. You're giving tons of patience to. It's over a year now we're talking about his struggles, a full calendar year with his struggles. Why is he so incapable of generating anything? And we can't just point to the coach and say, well, the coach is coaching the way he is or whatever it is, because he's a player that's played on worse teams than this. He's played on teams that have worse offensive game plans, and he's produced far better. This is a game you need a star forward to step up, any forward to step up. And he's your highest paid player. Like, at some point, you got to step up, man. Like, you can be good defensive. We can sit here and gush about the Toronto game and the Selke performances, all these things.
That's
right?
Old news. That's old news now.
None of these guys are going out with a fight. Lead the way. Do something offensively. And I don't need you to go out there and hit guys or fight or be the emotional leader. But you know how you speak? By playing to the strengths of your game. How did Quinn speak? Created space, got a shot off. What are you doing within your power to change the outlook of a hockey game? We're not seeing it.
No, we're not. And JT made the mistakes. They were all in front of us. We could see those mistakes led to goals. But with Elias Pettersson and JT Miller, but we've talked plenty about JT Miller. I think the evidence is on the tape. You mentioned the third goal reach.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tries to make a play in the neutral zone. You get caught flat-footed. Well, guess what? Get on your horse and get back.
Yeah.
You're late on the play. Kempe rolls in as the trailer on the play, picks up the puck, boom.
Yep.
And you're a second late. That's not good enough, right? When we're seeing Tyler Myers bust his rear end on back checks when he's trying to create something, and this is a defenseman skating to get back, and he broke up two plays himself throughout this game. You take notice of that, and Pedersen was, I think, a few of the Canucks that weren't able to do that. But to your point, Sat, offensively, you got to do something here. This team needs a game breaker. Those two power play opportunities were it. That's how you get back in the game. You're gifted an opportunity. You draw those penalties, including Pedersen himself on one of them. You draw the penalty, you got to be assertive, right? If Miller's not on that anymore, you on that power play, especially starting off the game, that's an opportunity to handle the puck a little bit more, create your own shot, distribute it a little bit more, and we didn't see any of that. There was a real lack of cohesion, and that communication, that lack of just that team dynamic, power play was lacking all night. And I think Rick Tocchet was trying to add something all night. He would take a player off. You know, he's putting the
I think he tried different top units
every single time.
Every single power play they had.
Yeah, he had Miller and Besser on the second unit. Yeah. They were trying to Lekkomäki, Garland, DeBrusque, you name it. They had everything. The coach is trying to create something. Somebody's got to step up there in the power play. Your big dogs need to create. Look at Edmonton tonight. They were down 3-0 against Colorado.
Yep.
Of course, they get a team effort. They get some depth players to step up. McDavid scores his third goal. Evan Bouchard scores the fourth goal. That's a regulation win when they're down 3-0. That is the standard right now. And for Vancouver, you need your big dog to step up. That's simply not happening.
Three goals for Vancouver is a mountain right now. To come back from that with this offense, the way that they are going, with all of the problems on the power play and with the top guys not pulling their weight outside of Quinn Hughes, of course. And now that the fans have, really been harder on the team, and for good reason. You know, there's been way too many stinkers on home ice. There's been way too many stinkers from this team, period.
It is, but especially with times are as tough as they are right now, yeah. Man. Like, it's so hard to
– And they raise ticket prices. Like, it's
– And, hey, you had a successful season. But, man, like, times are too tough for you to treat your home fans like this.
And that's – it's a big issue. And last year, Tocchet at a couple of different moments, you know, when the Canucks would have resilient games – You know, even he would say stuff like, you know, even when we're down games, this happened in the postseason too, even when we're down or even when we're struggling, the crowd would pick us up and they'd get behind us. And you're not seeing that anymore because those two power plays, you're getting more Bronx cheers in the first period than you are getting actual cheers. And it felt like it really carried into the team because shortly after those two power plays in the first period, what happens, those two goals against come shortly thereafter. And I think, you know, they're just not getting a lift from anything right now, and they don't deserve a lift from anything.
Well, guys, it's a two-way relationship, right? You got to give the home fans a reason to believe. And whether, you know, at the beginning of the year it was the team was at least delivering on the road. There's optimism. You're coming back to Vancouver. You can change the story on home ice here. It hasn't been great to start off, but you're doing your job on the road. So there was some optimism. Right now, the fan base, they're looking for a reason to believe right now, but they're not getting it. And that, you know, that Winnipeg game, they're freebie goals there, big mistakes, and you give really good teams freebies, they're fine with that. They can sit on those leads and say, all right, this is comfortable. Thank you very much. The same thing happened tonight. And when you're making mistakes like that, not only does it pump up the other team, it's like a, you know, basically letting the air out of the building where it's like, you know, the old meme, well, bleep, here we go again, right? Yep. And that's exactly what happened tonight. There was little energy in the third period, and I don't blame the fan base on that. It's you got to give your fans a reason to believe, and unfortunately, that was provided for like a minute by Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. And then just like that, gone, evaporated in thin air.
Yeah, but you're down 3-0, right? It's like once you're down 3-0, the Canucks started generating some. It's like, oh, you're actually doing stuff, but it's score effects. You're down 3-0.
Sure.
And when you make it 3-1, you give it away. Like
immediately.
Away, and then you're back at it again, you know? And that's kind of been the Canucks season so far. It's one good game, one good moment, one bad moment. Like, they just can't string it together. And, you know, as far as having hope, I don't even want to talk about playoffs right now. What I want to talk about is
win some games.
How do you get yourself out of the slump?
Honestly, Matt, forget winning games. Can you just play consistent
hockey? You haven't won back-to-back games in 2 months almost.
But, brother, can you win back-to-back games? You can't even play two good games back-to-back? You have to play two good games back-to-back to win two games. Like, play two or three good games in a row.
I'm with you, Sad. At this point, I'm saying you got to pick up some points, build some confidence right now.
Sure, but at least play a good hockey game.
St. Louis got a win. They're tied on points with St. Louis now.
Yeah, it's the old home and home. St. Louis won back-to-back against Calgary, which helps you in keeping close to Calgary. But guess what?
Yeah.
St. Louis is there. Utah is not that far away either. There's three tiers in the Western Conference right now. There's some really good teams. There's some teams that are decent, and then there's the final wild card group.
Yeah.
And Vancouver's in that final wild card group, but you have to pick up points. You have to put some good games together. Otherwise, you might be dropping into tier four here.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
You know, last week, Tocchet he's mentioned it a couple of times before tonight, and even after the Winnipeg game, he said he liked some of their game on the road. You know, offensively, they didn't do much in Carolina, but their defensive game had really come around. And now that they've lost that, I mean, what are you hanging on to in this moment if you're the coach? I'm really curious to hear what Rick Tocchet has to say. He might have one of those nights where he's just really short because he's too upset to say anything, but I'm really curious what his thoughts are about tonight's game.
Yeah, I'm curious too. And you know, before we let you go, and you know, I was interacting with some fans and listeners on social media during the game, and Viking Canuck is, you know, and I get it, like, I think he voices a lot of the concerns a lot of Canucks fans have. It's like, what is going on? Like, is the rift between JT and Pettersson so bad that the Canucks are this bad and these players are struggling this much? Like, what's the reason why they're struggling this much? And it's like, clearly they haven't been cohesive. Like, at the very least, there's an acknowledgement that JT and Pettersson haven't been, you know, getting along, so to speak. But that's not the smoking gun. I don't think there is a smoking gun. And when a team struggles the way this team is, the way they're spiraling right now too, that's not one thing. It's a number of things happening together. So you have the blue line issues, right? But all season long, the forwards haven't had the dedication necessary. Like, you mentioned even Pettersson on that back check.
Yeah.
You have three guys stationary in the neutral zone, and you got the third trailer for the Kings beating them all down to the ice, and he's completely alone banging in the rebound. this becomes like an effort thing.
Yep.
So, like, you have, I think, a number of issues going on, and perhaps there is some discord, but I think that is more a narrative that you can point to and say this is the reason why. But the reason they're not getting out of this is because I think their problems are far greater than just one thing. Clearly the blue line has issues. I think forward-wise they have some issues. And I think the fact that they're not getting answers is a big problem. But I don't know if we can point to one thing and say this is a smoking gun. And if it was that simple, I think they would have solved it, right? And it goes beyond the one thing, and that's a real confounding aspect of it, that we don't even have a straight answer as to, like, what is the reason they're struggling this way. Obviously a big part of it is the two best players not playing well enough, but come on, like, the breakdowns we're seeing, the lack of back pressure, just the lack of composure, it's throughout the lineup. The only guy who's not feeling it, it's Quinn Hughes.
Well, the team that we saw last year, and I know last year's kind of becoming like the bubble year, right? We talk about it in past tense, and it was kind of the gold standard, so to speak. But this is a team that had a good back check. This was a team that was, you know, tough to play against in the neutral zone. Guys, that was easy for LA. They were basically going up and down the ice at will whenever they wanted to. They were attacking the zone with speed. And Sat, to your point, there's multiple things going on here, right? This is also an effort thing. I think I'm seeing a lot of individuals. Mm-hmm. That connected style of hockey, that playing close together, we're just not getting it this year. Where last year, it was a calling card of the third line. That was the gold standard of, hey, if the rest of the lineup plays this way, you'll find success. And there were moments where, of course, JT Miller and his line did his thing. The third line did his thing. Elias Pettersson had his stretch at the beginning of the year. But they're not playing a connected. They look very stretched right now, whether it's offensively or defensively. And that tells me that, you know, you're just – there's a number of things going on. But right now, I think that's just a lot of kind of individualistic hockey that's going on right now. And that's when you play that way, as we've seen in this very building, that's when you have goals against. That's when you have, you know, a lot of breakdowns and miscommunication or no communication, because you're not playing as a team. You're playing as individuals.
It's hard not to feel like there is something –
are you saying something's rotten in the state of Denmark?
Some Shakespearean.
It's hard not to feel like there isn't something rotten going on with the room right now.
Which is shocking because
like last year, you had guys coming into that room saying it's the best room they've ever been in.
Winning cures everything.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, when you talk to players on the team, like, there's an acknowledgement of, yes, there's been noise, an acknowledgement, that not everybody gets along, but it's like, it's really not as bad as you guys think in the room. Yeah. That's kind of been the message that I get from people, and I can only tell people what I hear.
Yep.
That doesn't mean everybody's being truthful to me.
Whatever's going on with this team, they're not connected on the
100%. Yep. Like, I don't know what the reason is, and I don't know if it's the one thing, or, you know, if things are rotten or not, but they're not playing like a team that's fighting for each other. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we talk about teams that have success, teams that don't go down without a fight. I mean, Demko got run at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Not a single reaction. And, hey, maybe it wasn't even the LA Kings forward's fault, but he just ran through your goalie, knocked a stick out.
But how many times in hockey do we see a guy getting pushed into the goalie by the goalie's own teammate?
And
but
somebody
guess
responds.
What? You go in with a face wash and say, hey, next time.
Yeah. Turcotte was going hard to the net, and he came into a collision with Demko, and Demko goes down, loses his stick and everything, and nobody goes after Turcotte. This is a guy that scored two goals and had an assist on the night. He was the first star of the game, and he's going in for a hat trick in a game that's already out of control, and nobody's showing up to at least stick a glove in his face, go after him, take a penalty. The game's over at that point.
It doesn't matter.
Show some level of emotion.
In a game where that was my biggest problem with the Winnipeg game too, where – show some emotion when you're getting absolutely worked, right? Show some emotion. Have some, you know, the ability to kind of jump into a scrum and say, all right, you know what? I'm going to shake up this game a little bit.
Yeah.
That's been missing the last two games here. And you have players capable of doing that. We've seen some of these guys.
Yeah.
Whether it's JT, whether it's one of the defensemen, you know, I don't care if it's Desharnais, Forbert, one of the depth wingers, whoever it may be, you just don't get that response. And that's another example of, are you playing connected or not?
Yeah.
Right? Are you willing to go into a scrum? And when we talk about connecting and playing close together, that's another example of it.
It is, and the lack thereof, right? Randy, great stuff, man. Good stuff on the call, doing your best in a 5-1 Canucks loss, another poor performance. But you and Batch always on top of things, so we'll chat with you again very soon.
Appreciate it. I want to take a couple of seconds to wish a happy birthday to Jim Robson as well tomorrow. I know he had a chance to meet up with him a little bit earlier on and say hello and happy birthday, but he does listen to the station, probably listening on his way home right now if he's if he's in the car. So happy birthday, Mr. Robson, an inspiration and really
legend.
A legend for a lot of folks, not only in Vancouver, especially in Vancouver, but, you know, with his work on Hockey Night in Canada, there's a lot of admirers across the country.
Yeah, those of us that were lucky enough to get to at least meet him a couple times have some semblance of what it was, what his work was like on TV and on radio. You can't say enough about Jim Robson, and also the grace and the class which he handles himself with and how he interacts with people. Like he set the standard for broadcasters in this market.
Absolutely.
And I think if you're looking at trying to reach the heights of somebody and somebody you put on a pedestal and say this person not only did the job the right way but behaved the right way, he's at the very top of that list. So.
Absolutely, and he created so many memories for Canucks fans, but also as somebody who was growing up in the city, and I know many people can relate, also connected, his voice connected a lot of people to the sport of hockey, right, from a certain generation. If we love Pavel Bure and that generation of player, who's calling his goals? You know, Bure did most of the work on the ice, but who was the guy that tapped into that emotional energy? It was Jim Robson. So once again, happy birthday, guys. Enjoy the text inbox.
Oh, it's going
to
be fun.
I'll connect with you. I'm going to Canmore tomorrow morning.
Enjoy Hockey Day in Canada. Canmore.
I'll see you in a couple of days. And
wear a nice warm parka.
Yeah, I've got pretty much everything you could buy at Costco and Mark's Work Warehouse. So we'll see how I do, guys.
Godspeed, Randy.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That is Randeep, and that was your game review brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Love a good save, then you'll love the all-new all-electric Honda Prologue EV. Score up to $8,000 in combined rebates. Visit bchonda.ca. Now, before we go to the phone boards, we have a lot of reaction on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. This one from Mike Reed says, tonight's game was a message sent to management that change is needed. That's Mike Reed from Deep Cove. And, you know, as far as that change goes, Reach, and you can get to some text messages here in a moment right afterwards, but I mean, I think we've been waiting for that change. Is this the catalyst that makes it happen tomorrow? I mean, I'd still be surprised that it happens that quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that what everyone's waiting for? Somebody saying they're waiting for the 600-pound elephant in the room to get moved before things turn around? Like, does that seem to be the case?
I mean, it feels like one of those moments, right? It the way they've played, it feels like similar to the end of the Travis Green, Jim Benning era. It feels similar to the end of the Bruce Boudreau era, in which there is just a real bad feeling you get watching this team play right now. And I don't blame fans for feeling that way, because that's how you would normally feel with a team playing as poorly as this Canucks team is. This is one of the more talented Canucks rosters we've seen in a while. Maybe not quite as good as the one that ended last season, because they did make the additions of Zadorov and Lindholm to really bolster that group. But you came into this season very much feeling like this was a better team, a better roster with a better group of players than the one that started last season and ended up winning the Pacific Division. So where is it? Where is it? Where is that team? They are nowhere to be found right now. Stick them on the side of the milk carton, because they are missing. I miss seeing that team that plays hard at both ends of the rink. I miss seeing the team with the flashy power play, Miller skating downhill and sniping top cheese, Pettersson going with the big one tee off the right half wall. There's just no joy in this team right now. You feel it with the way that the fan base is here at Rogers Arena almost every time they play a home game. You feel it watching this team. They go to the power play. The power play is supposed to be where your best players get a little bit of joy in the game. They get to play with the puck more. They're happy to go to the power play. The Canucks, they're scared of the power play right now.
Yeah,
the way that it is. It sucks the life out of the team with the way that this power play is going right now. They need some definite good vibes to turn things around, but the only thing that's going to get them that is a little bit more hard work and having a real bit of accountability within that room to how poorly they are playing right now and how bad this is in this moment.
I think they need a lot of hard work. A little bit doesn't go long enough, far enough. A couple texts here before we get to the phone boards. James in Qualicum Beach says, Winnipeg and LA kicked our butts, and both teams made it look super easy as well. Man, Kevin and Kelowna. Tocchet has given up on these guys, and I don't blame him. Only Quinn is trying, and the rest aren't worth half of the contracts they're getting paid. That's Kevin and Kelowna. We'll get to some more texts as the show goes on. Let's take one phone call before we hit the break, and let's go to Burnaby, where we have Daniel on the line. Daniel, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Look, I attended the game tonight, and I think what's being glossed over here a bit and what hasn't been discussed is this team that won the Pacific Division last year is not getting the goaltending that they got. In games like this, you know, Thatcher Demko would come up with that big save in the early moments of the game and keep the team in the game and lift the team up. Where, you know, tonight, you know, he just didn't have it. He just didn't have those big saves. He didn't come up with those big, you know, Vezina caliber moments where he kept the team in the game. And I feel like, you know, it all goes hand in hand in terms of team, you know, energy. And, you know, when he makes that, let's just say he stops the first two big chances against, you know, it's a different energy level on the team, and the team's going to come back and with some different energy. And I feel like we're not getting the goaltending from Thatcher that he's capable of yet. And, you know, I think that'll turn around as he, you know, gets some games in. I think we just need to be patient. I'm not, you know, sitting here blaming Thatcher for the game. But what I'm saying is that, you know, last year he made a lot of those big saves, and then it, you know, the team came back and stayed in games, and it was a different result. And I think we're not seeing that this year.
Great stuff on the phone call, Daniel. Appreciate the thoughts, and keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox and also the phone boards. And, you know, do we blame Demko tonight? I think if you look at the chances, they're pretty, you know, high danger, big time chances for LA, and they score on them. But he hasn't been at the level that we're used to seeing,
no.
Right? And Lankinen was. Like, I think Lankinen has done the best he can do, but you can't have a savior in net for every single game. And if they need to get bailed out by the goaltending to be a good team anyways, then your team's not good enough to begin with. So yeah. It comes back to the whole thing of you can't just rely on your goaltending. He's right, but there's also so much there that they can do better.
I know it's 5 goals on 21 shots, but if you really go through it, I mean, first goal is the first shot of the game. It's a 2-on-1 for Alex Turcotte. Gets it at the back door and chips it over Demko. The second one, yeah, he lets out a big rebound, but honestly, the Canucks were scrambling for how long? That's taxing on a goalie. So now Alex Turcotte gets another one off of a big, juicy rebound. Third one, another rebound off of an odd man rush going back the other way because you're not getting the back check that you need out of the guys on the ice. Go through it, man. Like, how much more do you want the guy to do? The 4-1 goal is another odd man rush where he's having to take a deadly shooter in Kevin Fiala one-on-one in a 2-on-1 situation. So he's trying not to play half the net, but, you know, it's a brutal situation for a netminder. It's just you go through every single one. I can't blame Demko for tonight. There's too much to go through on the team. Demko's not it.
Yeah, when the first 3 goals are all like odd man chances and blown assignments, it's tough to pin it on the goaltender. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Canucks lose 5-1 against the Kings. More next. We'll get the thoughts of the Canucks head coach as the Canucks Central postgame show rolls on, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Like Kubota, do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More coming up next in the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Forber pinching down the near boards. Tried to knock it deep. Instead, it's cleared to center. And Kempe flips it to the red line for Kopitar. Right wing into the Vancouver zone center. Pass tip for the goal. Turcotte throws it out front. They score again. It's Adrian Kempe following up on a nice play by Turcotte to tip it back to him at the side of the net. And for a second straight game, the Canucks have spotted their opponent a 3-0 first period lead.
And this is another mistake in the offensive zone that leads to a transition attack. Elias Pettersson's not able to keep the puck in. And then on a second effort, is unable to beat Adrian Kempe for the puck. Kempe continues towards the net, but Elias Pettersson falls back and isn't able to get back into the play, and off to the races as the LA Kings sniper gets a goal in Vancouver yet again in back-to-back games, down 3-0 in the first period. And it's just too much going on here for Vancouver as far as the decision-making on the ice right now defensively is scattered, Batch, and they're not a confident group at all right now.
Canucks lacking confidence, lacking goal scoring, lacking structure. Tough night at Rogers Arena. 5-1 loss against the LA Kings, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah and Dan Riccio. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to the phone boards coming up in a moment as well, 604-280-0650. Now, before we get to the phone boards, let's get a couple text messages in, and we'll get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach coming up momentarily as well. And obviously, there are a lot of fans who show up to the game tonight not very happy. Will and Langley says, I was at the game tonight. Miller was tragic, and I'm a big fan, but that's nowhere near good enough of an effort by him. Turnover after turnover. So frustrating. I hate Rogers Arena right now. That's Will and Langley being at the game tonight.
A couple more coming in. You can imagine there's a lot like this. I want change. Besser and Miller need to go. Give this team to Petey and Hughes and see what happens. Another text. All of this can relate back to the defense. It's the defense that's the problem. This one from Arash and Abby. Just came back from the game. I've been to too many games before. However, this game seemed dead from the crowd perspective. No energy from the team. And it seems like Quinn is a defenseman and the forward for the Canucks. Seems like no other players engaged, and it feels like a one-man team at times. I felt like Quinn Hughes was getting fed up with the fact that he's the only one doing anything for this team. Marty the Red, I'm starting to think that embrace the heart is a message to the fans because this is hard to watch and there's no end in sight. That's from Marty the Red.
Yeah, and Chainsaw Dave says, out of position, out of energy, out of enthusiasm, coaches out of ideas, fans are out too. So Chainsaw Dave with all the outs so far. All right, keep your thoughts coming in. We'll try to have some fun as well and get through this together. And you know, I know people refer to this as the post-game counseling session, and that very much is it. Like, vent, get your thoughts out, and we'll try to move forward here.
We're
with
here
life.
For you to vent, maybe share a laugh.
Or two, perhaps. We'll do our best.
This tough moment of life as a Canucks fan.
Yes. I mean, hey, we wouldn't want it any other way because the darkness we are very familiar with. All right, keep your thoughts coming in. We'll get to more of those. Let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650. And let's start things off in Calgary, where we have Connor on the line, wanted to talk about Demko. Connor, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Evening, guys. Longtime listener. Just ringing in, hoping to kind of, I don't know, shed a bit more light kind of on the play of Demko. I know this isn't obviously in our top five issues plaguing us, but kind of just like the first caller, it has to be mentioned. Like, and then look, I really appreciate Dan that you said Demko was lifeless around alerting anyone of sort of things happening or even just slapping his stick on the ice, but his play has been lifeless. Sad even said too, like he literally got run and he doesn't even seem slightly miffed. Nobody does anything. Mm-hmm. He just gets up and kind of mopes over to the net like he doesn't care about anything. And I get that Dan like thinks it wasn't his fault. And, you know, I do too. You know, it's some tough breaks. And sure, okay, but the guy's rocking a 317 goals against guys before tonight's game where he gave us a 508. With a 7.62 save percentage. That's utterly embarrassing for a guy a season ago who was a Vezina runner-up. And look, maybe that was the result of our incredibly inflated analytics that have finally come down to earth. And the reason I'm kind of annoyed is, guys, he assured us when he did that bit. Remember he did that big availability where he told Alvin he wanted to address everyone personally himself? And he that when he comes back, he's going to make sure he's ready. No excuses. And man, if this is ready, I'm shocked. And look, we can talk about JT, Petey, the power play, defense, talk it, like, till the cows come home. And that's all justified. And it's a matter of time till Petey gets moved. You know, you can't make that much money and be completely invisible every second game. But the play of Demko has been less than even bottom feeder league worst goaltending after nine games. facts only, guys. 16 goals across his last four starts. And if this is the Demko we get now, let's give Lankinen a reasonable bag and get something back for him while we can. So that's just my take. Love the show. Thanks for you guys. Have a good night.
Thanks for the phone call. That is Connor in Calgary. And, you know, the thing you have to also keep in mind with Demko, was this his 10th start, 10th game?
Yeah.
So 10th game now, right? He had no preseason. So let's chalk up the first few to kind of preseason hockey, let's say three. And he's coming off a pretty difficult injury, I think. And it's fair to say, hey, he set the standard high and he set no excuses. You can hold him to it. That's all fine and good. But when you're coming off the type of injury Demko was coming off of, I think it's naive to expect him to come back and be the same guy right away.
Yeah.
And the way I viewed it always was, whenever Demko returns, and he ended up coming back, it was almost December when he came back, that if he can find his game sometime around the deadline, that'd be good. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. There's still some time to go. But I think you had to bake in that it was going to take some time for Demko to figure out his new reality and what that would look like. None of us really knew. You can be positive. You can say all the right things if you're a player. But it's an unknown. And I still think it's too early to say Demko is not going to figure it out. But it's clear he's still a work in progress, coming off a pretty significant and, for a goaltender, like, unprecedented injury.
I mean, there was things I didn't love in the third period from Demko.
Yeah, I mean, in third, sure. I mean, the game's over at that point.
But the game is over at that point. You know, the fifth goal, he doesn't know where the puck is. And
yeah.
There's a lack of, but I think this is something that's plaguing the team right now. There's a lack of urgency, a lack of focus in certain moments of the game, and it's really costing them. Demko was a Vezina Trophy finalist last year, not just because he played up to that level, but also because the defense in front of him gave him a better opportunity than he's ever had in his career to be the best version of himself. And in most of the starts that we've seen Demko play this year, we've seen the Canucks put together some of their worst defensive performances as a team with Demko between the pipes. For whatever that reason is, it's just happened far too often. Like that 4-3 OT loss to the St. Louis Blues, they were a train wreck defensively in that game. And the only reason that game was close was because Demko was standing on his head. Same thing with that Utah game where they lose 3-2 in Utah. He stood on his head. They were poor defensively that night, gave up a ton of chances going the other way. You really want to go through it. You can see where Demko and why there are reasons he has really struggled out of the gate. Some of it is his own doing, but you know what? Save percentage, that's a team statistic. It is not solely on the goaltender. And it is emblematic of how poor they've been in front of Demko.
And this text here, I think, nails it. This team is 32nd in expected goals for. Hellebuck couldn't bail this team out.
Yeah.
And, hey, and I don't disagree that Demko can be better. Like, multiple things are true at the same time here. But there are some things that are bigger issues than others.
Yes.
And I think that's the way I would view the Demko problem. Is, yeah, I mean, he's had some struggles. But he's not the reason why the Canucks find themselves in the position they are right now. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. Let's take another phone call, and we'll get to Rick talking in a moment as well. Let's go to Grand Prairie, where we have Travis on the line. Travis, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
You know what? I'm actually okay tonight, and unfortunately, it's a sad reason. After that first power play, I turned the game off. I watched Apple Plus. I've been a fan since 1982. I have watched almost every single broadcast I could. This year, I let my Sportsnet Plus expire, and I just started listening to the radio because I was getting a little bit upset. And tonight was the first time I turned it off completely. And I was talking with producer Eddie about, I was going into this season with the same hope that I went into 94-95 season and 2012 season, hoping they would take a step forward. Like, we were close to beating Edmonton in the playoffs last year. And so I was really happy and excited about this team. Like, we're finally at the top of the cycle. And then it's gone off the rails completely so bad that it stresses me out. So I thought, nah, maybe I'm taking a little too serious. And, you know, they lost 5-1 because obviously I'm going to check. I'm still a fan. But I don't get as upset. I'm like, yeah, well, they lost again. Whatever. Maybe in another 3 years we'll be back. But you guys made some really good points about them not being cohesive. Eddie made some good points. He reminded me about the year after they got Luongo and they missed the playoffs. It's repeating all over. When it goes good for us, we get to the second round. When it goes off the rails, we're going to miss the playoffs and we're going to miss the top draft picks. That's my point. So thanks, guys. Bye.
You got it. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the thoughts. That's Travis in Grand Prairie. So just turn it off. That's essentially where he's at.
If that's going to make you feel better about it, then sure, by all means. I know Canucks fans. I know they love this team, and they're going to stick through it through thick and thin because, yeah, for the large majority of this franchise's history, it's been more bad than good, even though the goods have been pretty good without the ultimate prize. Lately, this team has been a grind to watch. They don't generate an offense. They've won two of their last 10 games. They haven't won back-to-back games since November 29th and December 1st against the Buffalo Sabres and Detroit Red Wings. So it's been a while. You've seen a pretty bad hockey team right now, and I get it if you are out on this team because they're not showing you many reasons to be in on this team right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They haven't shown. I mean, you have to show people a reason or give people a reason to believe. And yeah. Right now, you know, it's more about a hope and a prayer than anything else, right?
I mean, Quinn Hughes is worth watching, but whatever happens when Quinn Hughes isn't on the ice, not so much worth watching right now.
Yes. Spiritual advisor with some spiritual advice. Canucks problems aren't my problems. Separate the two if you
can. Fair enough.
Which is not always easy to do. I mean, hey, listen, I'm a diehard fan of sports teams as well, so I'm not going to sit here and act like a bad game doesn't ruin my mood.
Have you ever seen sad on the day of a Chelsea loss?
Don't bring it up. Let's not. It ruins my entire weekend when they lose on the weekend. And Godspeed to Josh and Reach on days I have to show up and after watching them lose, and they don't want to put up with me on those days.
It's not
fun. No, it's not fun. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll take more phone calls coming up in a few moments as well, but let's get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach, Rick Tocchet. What does he have to say after a 5-1 loss against the LA Kings? Here he is at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town.
Rick, let's start with the start tonight and where you think this one got away from you as a group.
Yeah, just obviously a couple of bad reads, right? I thought we were going to start well. I mean, I thought we had some guys skating legs, but we just made some egregious plays, you know, pinching, you know, wrong decision at the wrong time. You can't do that. We're just making some guys are just making some really bad reads right now.
What was the message to the group when you called the timeout?
Just to relax. I mean, you know, you can't there's some guys who are really tight, so we have to relax. We have to. But saying that, you have to have a little focus in your game. You can't, you know, I think they had three goals where we have guys diving everywhere. Like good players doing it too. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Where do you go from here?
Well, you get punched in the mouth and you get back up. You can't quit on yourself or your teammates. So that's, if you're in this business long enough, you're going to get these situations, and character guys, leadership, all that stuff usually comes out of it. So we're looking for those type of people right now.
What's the sense of urgency like? This is game 44. This stretch has been obviously really tough, lost 6 of 7. Where is the level of urgency?
Well, I mean, like I said, urgency is, focus in your game. You know, like I said, there's some good parts. I know, you know, nobody wants to hear about it, but I thought some guys really worked hard, hit a couple of posts. But, you know, like I said, you cannot make – I mean, they have 6 or 7 shots. They had 4 goals or 3 goals because of blunders. And it happened in Winnipeg, same thing. So we got to correct it, or I got to correct it. I mean, you can't let it go. But I can't play two lines. But so I need some of these guys to step it up, even if they just play neutral. You know, just as long as they, you know, don't make some egregious mistakes.
Rick, after the game, is that a game where you go into the locker room and you talk to the team, or you let them kind of sort it out and then deal with everybody tomorrow?
I already talked to them after the first. I mean, I've talked about every period. I don't think going after a game. Tomorrow we'll have our message. Hopefully some of the guys got together. That's what you look for.
Rick, you mentioned egregious mistakes. You talk about players playing tight. You think it's a situation of guys maybe trying to do too much rather than just focusing on their own job?
Yeah. I mean, there's just, you know, like I said, there's some trends where – you know, you can't pinch or you can't hang in there. When, you know, you got to look who's on the ice. There's little things like that. Hockey IQ plays. For whatever reason, some guys are the focus level. I don't know if it's the nerves. They're not reading it. Some of the mistakes, like putting Eric, we don't understand. Like we talked about it. Certain players that you got to make sure that you're above, and D, you got to get out of there if we don't have any support. So, but you know, the only thing that's going to correct is our coaching staff and the players. We got to figure this out.
Another low minute night for JT. Mm-hmm. Where does he need to fix? What needs to happen for him to get back?
Yeah, he's struggling. he's caught in between. You know, he's seems like every time he's on the ice, something bad happens. I think he's got some bad luck, but he's also got some reads that he's got to look at himself right now, focus on some of these reads. I mean, you can't dive in on the 4-on-4, things like that. I think he's trying sometimes, but I think the focus level has to get a little higher.
On the other end of things, you got 29 minutes from Quinn. You got a goal. I mean,
yeah.
Is there anything else he can do to drag this team into where it needs to be?
Well, I mean, he can't do it himself. You know, you can't play one-on-one hockey. You can't play 29 minutes and just, you know, you got to adhere to a lot of stuff. But, yeah, he's trying. I mean, like, he's trying to make something happen for sure.
Just Thatcher, what's your read on him right now?
Well, I mean, like I said, he's been off so long. You know, he got the back spasms. You know, we got to get him on a little bit of a roll. You know, he's got to get some games. You know, it's a tough spot that he's in. He had to put a bunch of stuff together. So we'll continue to work with him. I mean, he's a hell of a goalie. You know, he'll come out of it.
From vision to reality, Tile Town has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. That is the thoughts of the Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet after a 5-1 loss against the LA Kings, and took a softer touch with his team. I mean, spoke about how these guys have to relax. They're very tight right now, and equated urgency to focus, and they felt they didn't have enough of it. Spoke about JT, obviously pointed out that he has to focus, which goes back to the urgency thing. Can't dive in on the 4-on-4, which we've been talking about, fourth goal, which was a backbreaker after Quinn Hughes had made it 3-1 at the time. But he took a softer touch with his team. The most interesting thing I thought he mentioned, he was kind of asked about his message to the guys and said, I'll do that tomorrow. But hopefully the guys got together and did it.
It's a call to look for more character and more leadership.
Yeah, you guys got to figure this out. And it has to come from within the group.
And it's not Quinn Hughes, because he keeps saying how Quinn Hughes is trying to do everything on his own.
What else can he do?
And on that note, Sat, post-game avails have ended. And I had a chuckle to myself. We're in the booth here in the Jim Robson broadcast gondola, and I looked up at the Sportsnet television post-game show, and they showed Quinn Hughes, and then they showed Phil DiGiuseppe doing post-game scrum after the game. I'm as big a Phil DiGiuseppe fan as anybody around here, okay? It says a lot to me that the captain, Quinn Hughes, is the only one of the leadership group that came out after your, fifth stinker on home ice? And he's the only one that faces the media? Miller spoke to media earlier today, sure, but you had a really rough night. You might want to answer a few questions.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Elias Pettersson, you had another rough night. You were a ghost on the score sheet again. You should probably answer a few questions. You want to talk about character and leadership? I know it's not a big thing, and people might yell in at the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox and be like, oh, this is media crying that they're not down there speaking to the media. It shows a lack of accountability for how you're playing as a team right now, that your leadership group isn't showing up to answer some hard questions after another tough game.
Well, one thing I would say, too, though, is, like, it's not like the players just all come out nowadays. Like, you kind of have to put a request in for the players. We don't know which players were requested, right? And sometimes you'll see, like, we'll talk to IMAC coming up later on, right? And he'll have some quotes from players too. So sometimes the scrums don't pick that up. So we'll see as the game goes on if anybody else spoke, right? Because things have really changed when it comes to how players arrive after the game. Like, before it was all the guys would be sitting there and you get in and you'd be chatting with whoever you wanted to. Now it's like you request who should come out, and one or two of those guys do come out. And if you don't, they don't get requested, they don't come out. So we'll see if there was anybody else that spoke. But I get what you mean as far as, like, Quinn spoke, you see PDG, and you see a lot of fans wanting to hear from other Canuck players. But if they don't get asked to speak nowadays, like, they just won't speak. And that's kind of become the norm when it comes to these post-game availabilities.
It is. I mean, maybe it's of a bygone era, but in the past, you have tough games and your leadership group knows that they need to face the music and speak to media post-game.
Well, Quinn Hughes was certainly there answering questions like he has been this entire season. He scored the one goal, tried to drag the Canucks back into it, but obviously not enough in a 5-1 loss against the LA Kings. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. A lot of reaction, even based on what the coach said. It's really funny how you can get different reactions from people about the same thing. Lotso says, best talk at postgame I've heard. No quitting ever. And we got one from BK earlier saying, talk it sounds like a coach out of answers. So it's kind of interesting. People have different perspectives on what you hear the head coach say. Now, we'll get into this a bit more on the other side. We have to hit the break. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the text inbox, more of your thoughts on the phone lines, and we'll hear a lot more. Plus, IMAX is going to join us. It's Satyar Shah and Dan Riccio, and this is the Canuck Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd.
And Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650,
and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
JT Miller skates it back top of the zone, dumps it into the right wing side. DeBrusk missed it. Edmondson gets it ahead. Here's a 2-on-1 for the Kings. Now on the power play. Fiala left wing. Moore with him. Fiala with a toe drag. He scores. A nice wrister for the left circle by Kevin Fiala as he held onto it and beat Demko over the glove. Restores the 3-goal lead for the Kings. It's 4-1.
And that's yet again questionable decision making by the Vancouver Canucks.
A couple of bad reads, right? I thought we were going to start well. I mean, I thought we had some guys skating legs, but we just made some egregious plays, you know, pinching, you know, wrong decision at the wrong time. You can't do that. We're just making some guys are just making some really bad reads right now.
And one of those players struggling, which you also spoke about, JT Miller spoke about how he's got to be better, has to focus, but also mention how it seems like every time he's on the ice, something bad happens. Another bad night for the Canucks at Rogers Arena. A tough 5-1 loss against the LA Kings. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. You know, there's a certain comfort in doing these post-game shows, and because, like, this is kind of what we were doing every other night for about, like, the better part of the last 8 years, right? But, man, I was hoping it was over. You know, I was like, especially after last year, you know, you get to second round of the playoffs, and, you know, it was so much hope and optimism heading into this season, and just to see things spiral is the last thing I want to see. But, you know, it's not a unfamiliar situation we find ourselves in here on the postgame show. And I think what we're all waiting for and wondering about this year is there a turnaround? And we spoke about that game against Toronto, right, where all the narratives came together so well. If you're trying to write a storyline about the proverbial turnaround, what better way of they had travel issues. You get stuck in Carolina an extra night. You travel on the day of to go and play the Leafs in Toronto. And perhaps that challenge wasn't as big as it was made out to be, but nonetheless, they go. They get a shutout victory. Pettersson has a Selke-type performance, like his players were chanting or his teammates were chanting from the bench at him after he was making defensive play after defensive play and blocking shots. And it just lined up that, hey, Pettersson's second game back. maybe this bounce back in Toronto, this could be the moment the season turned. And it was a complete mirage, right? Because what did they do following up? Lose 6-1 against the Jets in Winnipeg. And you can talk about, okay, long road trip and final game. It's not easy. All those things, sure, whatever. Now you come home. You face the LA Kings. You got dropped 6-1 on the road.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of are expecting a bit of a bounce back. And instead, it wasn't a tuck your tails between your legs performance necessarily, but you could see the confidence just zap out of the team when they go down 1-0.
Yeah.
And you saw a team that lacked any sort of belief when they were on the power play. You know, the fact that you didn't even get a single shot on goal, you have two power play opportunities, that should have been your time, your opportunity to get back into this hockey game.
Right after you're down 1-0, you get two power play opportunities immediately.
And if anything, it just gave the LA Kings more strength, because after that was over, they scored two more goals, and that was essentially it.
Yeah, and the first one was maybe a bit of a soft call, almost like the refs giving you a break on home ice with the call on Trevor Moore for a hold on Pettersson, and then Forbert is, you know, it's a for sure one, gets taken down. But, like, the power play accomplishes nothing. If anything, it creates more unease, more anxiety amongst the fans, amongst your home fans, because of how much the power play struggles. They get zero shots on net in those two power play opportunities. Then you have the Desharnais fight with Janot, which was going very much to Janot before the takedown by Desharnais. And
a good business decision, because if he doesn't take Janot down, Desharnais was going to get fed really bad. Like, he was at a huge disadvantage in that
but
fight.
But this is what I was talking about pregame. Like, are you going to feel better because Desharnais gets in a fight with Janot? Did nothing. It did nothing. The team immediately gave up two goals after that fight.
And you know what else happened tonight? People have been clamoring for the timeout.
Yeah.
The timeout happened.
Yeah, the timeout happened after the 3-0 goal.
Unless I missed it. This timeout did not possess magical powers.
No. Well, they did. They got a
few
shots.
Well, they
didn't
get scored on again. Yeah, they, right. It was. They didn't get – the fourth goal didn't happen until the Canucks got their first goal. You're right.
Yeah. So they started to – they didn't give up another goal in the first period after the timeout, and they did have a few chances, one falling to Phil DiGiuseppe. I did want to – mention this. We did get a note that Pettersson was not requested by media. Miller spoke, but not in a scrum setting. He spoke with IMAC, and Besser was getting treatment. So my call to want to hear from the Canucks leadership group, there is the reasoning behind it. Pettersson was not requested to speak by media, so he did not speak. I think that raises some other issues in today's day and age, but it is what it is. That's an update on that. So my little rant from earlier was maybe a bit in too much haste.
But I get the point about people want to hear, because people were texting in afterwards and saying, you saw during the Sedin era, the Sedins were, after every loss, they made sure they were there. And then after wins, they would kind of step aside, let other guys take. But, like, there is a level of maturity, I think, and a level of...
like, to me, like, Pettersson's making $11.6 million. A tough night for the team. If you, I get you don't want to be the captain of the team, and you're not the captain of the team. You still wear an A. You still, like, you should want... or feel a need to speak after another tough loss on home ice. It shouldn't be on media to request. It should be, like, there's an expectation there. As a member of the leadership group, that's part of your duty, part of your job.
And hey, that's all fair and fine, but, like, I want to see him perform on the ice.
So do I.
Like, words, I mean, how many times did JT during their bad year say the truth? And, oh, JT's telling the truth. Did it matter?
Yeah.
It's like, you still suck, right? And now you're not.
But
Tockett's
asking for more character and leadership out of his group. I think this is part and parcel with the whole conversation.
But just how they've handled the adversity.
Yeah.
They haven't handled it well.
No, they haven't handled it well at all.
You know, and that to me does speak to a group that clearly isn't experienced or mature enough to handle this.
Yeah.
And that is a bit of a problem. And I think when you have inconsistencies, the way this Canucks team has had inconsistencies, it speaks to the group not getting it done.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a big part of why we haven't seen them win consecutive games since November. That's why we don't see them string together good performances. Forget the team. Has Pettersson played two really good games back-to-back?
No.
Has JT done it? So, I mean, when you have your two best forwards, they haven't been able to play two good games back-to-back. How do you expect the team to not only, you know, play good, you know, win two games back-to-back, but even play two good games back-to-back? And this is how all these things are connected.
Patterson's best 10-game stretch came when Miller wasn't in the lineup. And I know people are going to text that in and say it out loud and all those kinds of things. It doesn't matter, you know. At the end of the day, this team was built – the idea that this team could become a contender is built around both Miller and Pettersson playing to their potential. And the fact that we're here after 44 games, still waiting to see that from both players, is the biggest reason why they find themselves in the situation that they are in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, we have time to squeeze one phone call in, which we'll take more on the other side, plus we'll get to IMAC. But let's start things off here in Richmond, where we have Sam on the line. Sam, thanks for calling in. Now, what are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys, so sorry, I'll just speak quickly, but thanks for taking my call. But I agree with what Dan was saying. Absolutely, the leadership core needs to step up, and especially Pettersson and Miller. I don't necessarily agree with the Vancouver media all the time, but I agree on this one. They're the part of the leadership crew, and as someone who played hockey, even though it's good that Quinn Hughes went, came on and talked to the media, but Miller and Pettersson absolutely should. That's 100% I agree with that. But my more point, again, quickly, and I talked about this before, is about the upper management. They had a great thing going last year with the second, even though it was a second round exit, and it got totally blown up. 10 free agents they had last year. 10 free agents. What an absolute joke. And you know what? I kind of feel sorry for Canucks fans. Because you know what Rick Tocchet said, being punched in the face? Well, this fan base has been punched in the face for 54 seasons. And yes, the odd occasion we finally get to the Stanley Cup final and lose. But you know what? I don't blame them one bit for them to turning off the TV. Why should we give that slumlord owner any more money? I'm sorry. But if you Canucks fans want to send a message, stop going to games. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call. That's Sam in Richmond. Fire it up.
There's no need to get personal about it.
Yeah, listen, when a team struggles this way, like, everybody is going to wear it, right? Yeah. That's what happens in a market like this when you've only won 19 of your first 44 games.
Yep.
And you've only won 7 of your first, what is it? How many home games have they had now? 18?
Mm-hmm. 7
so
games.
7, 9, and 6?
Yeah. The fact that you've won 7 games as of January 16th on home ice, it's a pretty rough look.
Yeah, and, you know, when those things happen, fans are going to get frustrated, and they're going to let everybody have a piece of their mind, right? And the only way you change that is by winning hockey games and turning things around. And, you know, when it comes to the home games, and we've had so many fans text in, people call in who've been at the game, who spend their time and money to come here, and we know what times are like. Like, it's difficult. It's frustrating. So I can't fault fans for, you know, expressing their frustrations right now. It's venting for the most part, but I get it. Like, it's very disappointing. This isn't the worst Canucks season, but it certainly ranks pretty high amongst disappointing Canucks seasons, especially based on what happened last season.
Right now, this team went from very likable last year to very unlikable as a team.
Yeah, it's
for a
huge
lot of
swing,
reasons,
right?
Yeah.
And I saw people, you know, even mention some of the fans need to be louder. This building was buzzing last year. The last few years, the postseason, because they had a reason to, right? And even, you know, years prior, there were some exciting things going on, but this year has been disappointing because the fall's always harder when you have higher expectations, and that's what we've seen so far for the Canucks. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll try to take more of your phone calls as well on the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More next on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and postgame on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Besser, bottom of the left circle, spins away from Clark to Miller in the slot, try to one-timer. Edmondson blocked it, and Clark gets the rebound up the near side for Fogle. He'll pass to center for Quinton Byfield with speed to the Vancouver line, tried a shot. It was tied up by Myers. It rolled wide of the goal. Puck deflects to the far post. Fogle scores at the far side. Demko was looking over the wrong shoulder, didn't realize where the puck was, and Fogle walked out front on the backhand and beat him past the blocker to make it 5-1 Kings.
And this is a bit of a broken play as the shot by Byfield goes
to the left of the net. It's deflected by Myers, but the puck battle ensues. Two Canucks go behind Byfield, but the puck pops out past Janot to the right of Thatcher Demko, but he's looking over his left shoulder, and Fogle just pops it over his pad to make it 5-1 in this game, and that's unfortunate because Demko's thinking it's behind him to the left. Unfortunately, it was behind him to the right.
Canucks lose 5-1 against the Kings on home ice, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650, and we'll take a couple of phone calls coming up in a moment as well. A lot of reaction on the text inbox, as you would imagine. Man, I don't even know where to begin, but I'll start things off here. Phil and Nanaimo hearkening back to Bo Horvat, saying, is it too late to get Bo back? I don't think Bo was a problem now. That's Phil and Nanaimo texting in. So, you know, things are getting bad when people are going back to trades from a couple years ago and asking for a redo again.
Yeah, well, the New York Islanders are last place in the Metropolitan Division. I don't know if that's the answer here for the Vancouver Canucks. There is, I'd like to see more accountability from the leadership group, and especially Elias Pettersson at $11.6 million. Just because media didn't request you to speak doesn't mean you shouldn't speak after a tough loss like this. If you're a part of the leadership group, it's part of your duty to get in front of the cameras and face the music.
Pardeep says,
I mean, his general manager's been asking him to face the music a little bit more too.
Well, I mean, clearly your highest paid player has to show up.
Yeah.
Right? And more than anything, he needs to show up on the ice, and that's where his performance has been most absent. Pardeep says, how do you even consider extending Besser at this point? Lekromäki can fill that spot with his potential. He wired a couple of nice shots tonight, Lekromäki did, and looked like to have some life.
He fooled the crew here on home ice.
Thought there was a goal, hit the post.
They had the lights going, and the dry ice was coming out.
Yeah, you know, if the Canucks had played a better game, there could have been a couple fun things to talk about. Lekromäki would have been one. But it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, obviously.
You saw him display the shot. It's it's unfortunate that this is how it's all turned out. But the focus is on still the top players not living up to their contracts, not living up to the expectations of what they should be as players here. And I know JT Miller was first and foremost the biggest culprit in tonight's game, and certainly the head coach talked about that as well tonight.
Charlie Ng Langley says, I've been at half these home games this season. I've found the fan base very high energy and trying to encourage the team. Tonight was a dramatic change. I hope management really felt it and takes action. Charlie Ng Langley. And it did seem early on the first goal happens, the second one happens, and it was kind of like a real feeling of resignation in the building pretty quickly tonight.
It just, you know, you give up. It's almost a carbon copy of what happened against Winnipeg. You know, you give up that first goal, then you're kind of getting through the next few minutes, but then they score two goals back-to-back. It's wild that this has happened in back-to-back games. This one from Drew in Port Moody. Best thing front office could do is bring in somebody with maturity and even keel attitude. A Joe Thornton type of presence would be great. Feel like we lost that with the departure of Ian Cole. I think very much so. This team is lacking a little bit of leadership. Obviously, the head coach tonight, one of the things he's asking for and what he's looking for is a little bit more character and a little bit more leadership from his group. So there's definitely a void in that situation right now. And again, you felt it on the ice. Like, there's just moments in the game. They don't talk to each other on the ice. They're not playing together. They're not playing as a group. It's really tough to win hockey games and to beat teams at the highest level of the NHL if you're going to play like a bunch of individuals out there. And that's the way the Canucks are playing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you don't have that togetherness either, and we talked about that with Randeep as well, you see it with how they're playing and also how they haven't been connected enough. Anything else you're seeing on the text inbox? Cam in Victoria says, Canucks need to dig Canucks win takes – I'm sorry – the Canucks need to get Cyclone Taylor back and play him at center. Legends say he was a hell of a skater. Camp of Victoria. The Canucks need the team speed.
I wonder what he would do with the new equipment. That would be fun to see. Bobby in the Okanagan. I've held off as long as I can with this take this year, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and the management group earned it as well. But it's time for a shakeup. Something's got to give. That's from Bobby in the Okanagan, and we're hearing that a lot on the Dunbar Lumber text line. This one also coming in, you're hearing more of this. I could be extreme, but a problem with Tockett I see is that he's a grind-type coach rather than using the skills the players have, like working with what he has rather than trying to make something with tools he doesn't have. And there is a miscommunication that's happening right now. As Tockett mentioned in his post game, the guys are tight. His message during the timeout was everybody needs to relax, which I know when I try to say that or accidentally say that to my partner, when you tell somebody to relax, usually it has the opposite effect.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. It's not a good one. Especially, just calm down.
Especially in a relationship setting. It's never a good idea.
No, never is. Never is.
So I could see how maybe it didn't have the desired effect when Rick Tockett maybe said that to his team. But kidding aside, like one moment I noticed on the power play in the second period, the Canucks, like, under incredible pressure, like the LA Kings PK, remarkable with how they pressure the puck on the PK and how they're able to do it. And the Canucks really struggled with that all night tonight. And they have, because most teams do it to them now as they've seen it as a way to really stop and slow the Canucks' power play. But they finally get a clean zone entry and they finally start to beat pressure with a few passes. And Jake DeBrusque does what Rick Tockett has been saying forever. Like, when we beat pressure, we got to take the puck to the net. When you get that advantage, you got to attack and get on the front foot. And DeBrusque does that, and he almost connects with JT on a backdoor pass that would have gotten the Canucks a goal. It ultimately doesn't hit. JT gets his stick checked at the last minute, and so the chance goes for naught. And then Connor Garland tries to do the same thing, but it doesn't work. But my bigger point is, like, there are some things that when they execute Tockett's message and messages that Tockett's been sharing with us in the media, you can see it work. It's just not happening quickly enough or often enough, I should say.
Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll try to take more. Let's go to the phone boards and let's start things off in Lions Bay, where we have Jose on the line. Jose, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, Seth. You know, first of all, I realize Dick's not available tonight, but I'm really happy that Phil G. Giuseppe's player agent is able to join you on this broadcast.
It's good to be here. You know, I wish I was an agent. You know, those agent fees can be pretty good.
Dan, it's good to hear your voice. Guys, look, you know, I'm just going to cut to the chase. I've been called in a few times, as Seth knows, and I'm pinning a lot of this on management. Couple of quick things. Number one, management has known for a while that there's been issues in the locker room with Petey and Miller. They've ignored it. They haven't dealt with it. Maybe last season was an aberration because they did well, but that's something that is now coming to roost. I got to say as well, too, you know what? The defense was obviously better last year. What does management do? Let's save some cash on the defense, sign Vinny Desharnais instead, let Colin Zadorov leave. Spend money on guys like Danton Heinen. You add Heinen and Desharnais, that's $4.25 million. That could have actually turned into a quality defenseman on the back end through a trade or signing. And then, guys, what else can I say? How about coaching? You know, Tockett wins the coach of the year. He's got a top assistant in Mike Yeo. He's got the top goalie coach in Ian Clark. Both of them are gone. And now suddenly offense is an issue. Tockett's game plan is an issue. We just saw Thatcher Demko tonight not looking great, and I wonder if Ian Clark was there, who knows him well, maybe he would actually be able to get him going a little bit sooner, and I'm wondering about that. One final other comment, guys. Honestly, this is a reminder. Rutherford and Alvin inherited a team with Demko, Hughes, Miller, Petey, Besser, Horvat, and those are assets. And all they've done is trade Horvat to use an asset to acquire Hronek. What are they going to do, guys? Because this core is stale. Back to you.
Thanks for the phone call, Jose. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. What is management going to do next? And obviously it's been very challenging making trades. And, you know, at this stage, it's very unlikely they're going to make any sort of short-term trade. And the bigger trades for guys with term, and if you're making bigger trades around players like, say, JT or Pettersson even, it gets far more challenging. We'll see. I wouldn't put it past him to make a move, but I'm not holding my breath that anything happens soon. Now watch something happen tomorrow.
Right now, with the way JT's playing, with how public his story has become, I can only imagine how difficult that trade would be to make, especially with his trade protection and all those types of things. So for as many people saying in the text box right now, like, hey, you got to move one of these guys, and with respect to the caller just now as well, like, I get it. I'm as frustrated as you guys watching this team right now, but it's not as easy as black and white to make a trade in the National Hockey League in the salary cap era, and certainly not an ideal situation right now for the Canucks if you're looking to get value or anything close to value for what these players should be. You're not getting it right now, especially not with JT off the night he's come off of, you know, the coach saying, yeah, this guy's struggling right now, and there's a focus there that needs to be higher from JT Miller. There's, you know, Viz going around on the internet of Tockett saying something to JT, and he goes and moves down to the end of the bench. I mean, just nothing is good right now in this situation. Optics are bad. That leaves you with less leverage in trade talk. So even if you really wanted to explore that road, it's not a great road to be going down right now.
Let's continue on the phone boards. Let's try to take a couple more before we get Ian McIntyre joining us. Let's go to Abbotsford, where we have Matt on the line. Matt, thanks for calling in, and what are your thoughts here tonight?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Just a couple points. One is I actually thought Pettersson played really great tonight. I really did think he had a good game. But my main point is agree with everything I've pretty much heard tonight, but one thing that I think needs a little more thought on, and I put it on Tockett, is we really don't have a first-line presence that's constantly dangerous out there, and I think you need to load up your first line, put Pettersson with Besser, Miller, or whatever, and the reason why is your second line only becomes effective when your first line's effective, because then they draw the attention, then you get the second line going, and so on with the third and fourth. Unless you have a consistently threatening first line, you're not going to start to see your second line get going and so on. And I think I put that – I know there's responsibility on the players for sure, but I actually put that on Tockett. I think you got to find a way to load up and get your best players playing together and see what kind of surprises come up on your second line. I don't think you need to spread it so thin, and I really disagree with what Tockett's doing there, especially right now when you need to get something going. So that's my comment, yeah.
Appreciate the phone call. Good stuff, Matt. That's Matt and Abbotsford calling in. It's never a bad idea to load up your best players, and I'm not against that suggestion. And for all the talk about, you know, the players, the coach, what else can you do to figure things out? When we talk about deployment and how they can maximize some situations, I haven't loved the line combinations. I didn't hate the ones coming into tonight's game, but the whole JT and Pettersson being on the same line thing, they haven't really played well together on the same line. So, and I actually don't love Garland with those guys. Like, I think they're kind of stuck. Like, I'm not against it. Like, do whatever. You're struggling. You're not winning enough hockey games. But I don't think you get the best of Garland when he's playing with JT or Pettersson. And I don't think you get the best of Pettersson if you have them playing with each other too. So as much as I'm not against trying it, I'm not sure that is going to be the ultimate solution.
Ultimately, like, the Lotto line just hasn't really worked together, you know. If you go back through the years, it just – they've had moments where it really worked. Obviously, that first season together, it was magical how good the Lotto line was, but it didn't last forever. And I think the best version we saw of this team last year was when Miller and Besser were dominating as a duo on one line, and then Pettersson was doing his thing away from them as a separate line, and you had two legitimate top six forward lines. And for as much as the caller said he liked Pettersson's game tonight, I'm not seeing the same thing, especially not tonight. In recent games.
He wasn't terrible, but it's like you're not paying 11.6 to just be good 5-on-5. It's like you got a bottom line. The bottom line has to be there.
Austin Matthews, he's missed a bunch this year, and he's having a down year. He's still got 18 goals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pettersson has not been anywhere close. So, yeah, he can play good, but you know what? You need production out of this guy right now, and good just isn't good enough when you're making $11.6 million. Good is only excuse for not being great, and that's where I'm at with Pettersson right now.
We are going to get to Ian McIntyre here coming up in a second. So we're
the man
not
who spoke to JT Miller.
Yes, he did speak to JT. We'll get to get his thoughts coming up in a moment. Thanks for all your phone calls. We'll try to squeeze a text or two in, but it's been a pretty fast-moving show with the game going late despite being a 5-1 loss against the LA Kings. It's time to welcome in the man we call the triple threat. You watch him on TV. You read him on digital. You're about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
So are the people fired up?
Yes, they are very fired up.
Oh, you can imagine I'm that.
It's pretty much more or less, it's kind of been throw in the towel night for most fans. Now, there are fans that still believe, and there are fans that, you know, are still supportive to some extent, very frustrated. But the vast majority of the reaction has been fans essentially saying, this is not it. This year is not the Canucks year.
Yeah. Well, it had that feel. I can understand why.
Can't even say.
So much for IMAC talking to you off the ledge.
Just take another step.
Listen, I just wrote because I was fascinated, not fascinated, but I remembered that the Canucks beat the Kings, went into LA and beat the Kings on November 7th.
The night Janot hit Brock Besser.
That also was the night they completed the California sweep. They, at that point, they'd won 7 out of 9 and were playing their best hockey. They looked like themselves. They looked like that 109-point mm-hmm. Canucks team. And nobody could have envisioned after that game, especially if you were there and you could feel, you know, the confidence pulsing from the group. Like, it was, everyone was excited. They're confident. They felt like they'd figured out their game, and they were coming home for a 6-game homestand and ready to start going. It felt like a launch point, mm-hmm. right? That game tonight felt like the crash. Tonight felt like the end.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the end because there are 38 games to go, but unless they figure out a way to start engaging mm-hmm. and to focus and to come out prepared, they're not going to beat anybody. Like, how do you beat anybody when you play the first 10 minutes the way the Canucks did tonight? So I can sympathize. I know I'm supposed to be the voice of reason. I know I'm supposed to, but this and that. I understand how fans feel about that. And, you know, the other thing about it, when you think of these two games, like that sample, if that's mm-hmm. what you want to call it, is more than a third of the season. It's 2 months and a week. And the Canucks are now under 500 in that time.
Yeah.
Since that last LA game. So this isn't about, you know, a couple of bad weeks or this guy's missing or JT's on a leave or Phil Bronick's not back yet, or Thatcher's still trying to figure out his form after missing so much time. This is broader than any of those issues. And the fact that they haven't been able to, in the 2 weeks, two months and 1 week, find their game again, I don't know why anyone would think they would find it in the next 2 months.
Yeah.
If they haven't found it by now.
There's been no signs.
No. We're all looking for signs.
No, there's games. There's games here and there, but that's all they are.
There's no trend. There's no trend line.
It's just like, you have a really nice day, and then you go to sleep at night, and you wake up tomorrow, and you're back to reality.
Well, it's almost like they when they have one of those games, like the game against Toronto, it's like, is this the one where we've turned the corner? Is this the speed bump? Have we finally beaten the final boss, and we're going to figure ourselves out? And then they lay a dud the very next game. And that's happened numerous occasions. You think about the Florida game, they followed it up with a dud against Boston. And then they play well against Colorado, they follow it up with a dud against the Utah Hockey Club. So it's just been the storyline all season. They have one good game, and it's almost like, is this the time? Is this the moment? No, it's not the moment.
Yeah, and even that 6-game homestand I mentioned after the sweep of California when it seemed like they were on their way, I mean, there were some very beatable teams that beat them in that homestand. They went 2-4. And
they came home. They got their teeth kicked in by Edmonton.
Yeah,
the first game.
And they have scuffled since then. You know, this last road trip, and I'm already on record as saying I don't think the game in Winnipeg is as bad as everybody else seems to think it was. I think the Canucks' great failing in that game is that they put one foot on the plane halfway through the second period when it was 4-0. They didn't compete in the second half of the game.
Definitely didn't compete.
But the first half of the game, Kevin Lankinen was terrible. They gave up 4 goals on 9 shots, and they were down 4-0 halfway through the game when the shots were 12-11. I've seen the Canucks play worse than that. But it was a humiliating score, and as I said, in the end, they just didn't compete. They took the 4 points they got from the first 4 games of the trip, and they got on the plane early. And that's why tonight is harder to fathom. Tonight is harder to excuse or rationalize because they were coming off that game. And one of the things that they have shown is their resilience. We've talked about that a lot, and their resourcefulness and their ability to find these points when they haven't been their best. Well, tonight was a game they had to have some resilience.
Yeah.
And instead, they were as meek and unengaged and disconnected mentally as I've seen them this season. And, you know, that's hard to reconcile. That's hard to pass off as, well, this guy's struggling or that guy's struggling or it's just this or they're tired or whatever. Their best players haven't been nearly good enough for a long time. And we all know that Quinn Hughes is the exception. But he wasn't great tonight either. But he has had a fabulous season, and he is an incredible player who has done everything he can to drag his team along and keep it afloat, but it's not enough. They haven't had enough from Miller. They haven't had enough from Besser. They haven't had enough from Pettersson. And Philip Roenick has missed most of the season, and they're not getting saves from Thatcher Demko, who was out 8 months with a knee injury. So we knew it was going to be a while, and he knew it was going to be take some time before he was back on top of his game. So these are their best players. So no wonder they are where they are.
If this team wasn't, this core wasn't on its fourth head coach, what do you think the conversation would be around the coach after all these dud performances, especially on home ice? And I'm not saying it's Tocchet's fault, but we've seen this before, right, Ian, that if you have this many poor games on home ice, it leads to something, you know? And I know they love Tocchet, so I'm not saying he's on a chopping block, but if this coaching staff, if this core wasn't on its fourth coach, there might be more pressure behind the bench right now.
Yeah, I don't have to project what that conversation will be like because it's going on right now. All you have to do is go on to X or whatever, and that conversation is going on. So there is a lot of pressure, and games like this, especially all these dud starts where the players aren't ready to go. And you know, from 30 years of covering this team, I'm on record as saying it's always the players. Like, the players have to get themselves ready. You can't hold that on the coach when professionals, guys like you say, who are making $11.6 million, aren't ready to go. Well, you get yourself ready to go. That said, these games reflect poorly on everyone, including the coaching staff. That power play in the first period reflects poorly on the coaching staff. Having Miller and Pettersson on different units reflects poorly on the coaching staff. They're overthinking things. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that they're desperate. They're looking for solutions. That's not the solution, like, to separate your two best players or the two guys who should be the best players. So, it's not good for anyone. We know that, you know, in that conversation I had with Patrick Alvin just after Christmas, he said that, you know, Rick Tocchet has to find solutions. Mm-hmm. They do have an incredible relationship. Like, this isn't Alvin Boudreaux. This is Alvin Tocchet. There's a huge difference in the dynamics there. But, you know, just as you can only wait so long for players to do something, they may feel they can only wait so long for a coach to do something. I think it would be preposterous to fire a guy, and I haven't checked what Rick's winning percentage is after the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks.
Still,
but I know
still
that
second in Canucks history behind Alain Vigneault.
Okay. Well, for a while he was ahead of Alain Vigneault as well. So it's only in the last couple of months he's gone below him. And if you look at what the team, where the team was before he took over to where it is now, if you accept at face value what Alvin and Rutherford have said about building culture and setting standards and trying to hold players accountable, is that not exactly what Rick Tocchet has done? The current struggles notwithstanding, is that not what he has done? Are we not having this conversation partly because of the standards that they have now set under this coach? I think it would be an absolutely ridiculous thing. I don't know how they management might think that that would make them better for the rest of this season if their goal is still to make the playoffs. I think they're far better to ride out this season and see where they go. And if they want to make a coaching change, you know what? Maybe Rick doesn't want to come back after this year, and maybe they go their separate ways. And there's enough respect in that relationship that could happen. But right now, there's a lot of pressure on everybody.
JT Miller. It was a big topic in Rick Tocchet's postgame, saying that the focus needs to be higher. Some of the blunders he mentioned from JT tonight. We saw some tough back checks against Winnipeg as well. I understand you spoke to JT, as he did not speak to assembled media, but he did speak to you.
Well, I don't know if assembled media asked for
him. Yeah.
I mean, let's be clear about things. And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. The way the Canucks do this, they send one of their communication staff along the canvas press row, usually about halfway through the third period, and you make a request of who you want to talk to. So I asked for JT Miller. I don't know if anybody asked for him or not.
You were the only one who asked.
So Miller talked to me for a couple of minutes, and you know, I'll just read you the quotes. He said, you know, I asked him, is it hard, while respecting, you know, your leave of absence, you're clearly dealing with whatever you need to deal with, is this hard, trying to play these games, trying to find a rhythm, and struggling? And he said, quote, it's hard, I'm trying to be mentally strong, and I think this is where your character shows in moments like this. So today my mindset was to work my ass off and see what happens, and I really still think I did that, but it's just costly mistakes right now. I just need to focus more. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm on the wrong side of it right now, and that's on me. I'm a leader on this team, and the team expects me to be a lot better than this, so that's my focus. So that's what Miller had to say. Accountability has never been an issue with JT. It has been with some other players at times. It has never been with JT. In fact, I think at times he's too hard on himself. I have a hard time piling on a guy who we know is dealing with things that are probably more important, certainly more important to him than hockey. And, you know, I think he's in a really tough position. It would be, you know what, it would be nice if the team was humming along and other guys were playing great, and JT Miller didn't have to be the leader and didn't have to be out front every night. But clearly he hasn't been the same player since he returned from his leave, in the same way that Brock Besser, other than that brief scoring binge at Christmas, has struggled to make impact since he came back. Thatcher Demko has struggled to find his game since he came back. And now we'll see how quickly Philip Ronan can get back his game. Made a terrible read on the first goal on a bad pass from Miller. So, you know, there's a lot that has brought the Canucks to this point. It's just right now hard to really look at this group and say, yeah, they're gonna snap out of it. They're gonna be the team that they were, because they haven't been that team for so long now.
Yeah, you can live on that prayer though, right? All right. I'm going to end it at that. A bad joke to end things. Great stuff, Ian. Always a pleasure having you on the show, and I look forward to reading your latest on Sportsnet.ca. Some great quotes from JT Miller. Make sure to check it out on Sportsnet.ca, and we'll chat on Saturday. And I'm hopeful for a better result, or at least a better performance, because listen, my big thing is things can always get worse. One of my big things. So I don't even believe in
rock
bottom.
Are you Scottish?
No, but maybe. Maybe there might
be. You sound like everyone in my family.
Yeah, because I don't believe in the notion of rock bottom. That means, like, that's not logical. But Anyways, you don't need to go through that. But just, like, if things get worse, like, it's not going to end well.
Yeah, and you know what? It's I hate to use a coaching word. It is the process. Like, tonight, had they battled hard and they lose 3-2, people are going to be disappointed. People are going to be more panicked, you know, by the loss where they are in the standings. But at least the team engaged and it competed, and it was would have been a lot better than what it was in Winnipeg. Tonight they were worse.
Yeah, they certainly were, Ian. But you were great as always. So was Dan Riccio. You can listen to myself and Dan coming up tomorrow on Canucks Central, 4 to 6. We have Mailbag Friday, plus we have Yannick Hansen and a lot more to get to. Special thanks to Josh Elliott-Wolf and Fast Eddie Gregory producing the show, doing a great job as always. And big thanks to all of you for listening, hanging in there, and we get through these things together. We'll chat about it. We'll move forward, and then we have another Canucks game to talk about on Saturday against the Oilers, but a lot more coming up starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
You are the wind beneath my wings, Seth.
And we sail off together. Great stuff, everyone. Thank you for listening and participating. This has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.